In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a very strong tendency in us to want to find ways to compromise with the world. One could certainly argue on a natural level that it seems to make sense. After all, life at times is a series of little compromises that we make here and there in order to remain and do the things that we are required to do. After all, none of us is his own master. None of us are free to do what we want, when we want, how we want, contrary to what the world may say or how the world may move forward. And so we make compromises, whether it be in our homes, in our relationships, whether it be at work, among friends and family, simply to be in the world. And yet one must also guard himself from making so many compromises that then with the things of God, we likewise begin to compromise a little bit here or there, shaving off the truth here or there, or the manner in which we arduously and seriously live our Catholic lives. Because the truth of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, admits to no compromise. There is no middle ground where we can choose, as the Lord himself says, both God and the world. Simply, the world does not allow that. And therein lies the real difficulty. For as much as our natural tendency might be to compromise, because it seems wise to do so in order to continue to remain in the world itself will not allow us to do that. The world doesn't want what we have. And as long as we remain, we are a rebuke to the world itself. The Sirach had said that many, many, many moons ago, that the just man is a rebuke to the unjust. Your very existence is a rebuke. And why? Because the manner in which you're choosing to live your life right now, at this precise moment, says something to the world that there is something other. That there needs to be, there is a way of living such that I don't have to be a compromise with the world itself. I can be authentic and true to who I am and live and act accordingly. God does indeed exist, and I'm required to give to him completely and totally. My life is not my own, and I am not my own master, and must find my obedience in relationship with God. These are the things that you say, simply by being here at Holy Mass, praying in this particular way. And the world doesn't want you. And the only way the world can truly deal with you is not to compromise with you, but is to eradicate you. Now, that may seem like very harsh language, but we have been in this posture from the very beginning. After all, they killed our Lord. They refused to change themselves and to bend to what it is that he was preaching. They certainly weren't willing to compromise with him. Every time he entered into dialogue with them, they were always seeking to trip him up. And when none of those things worked, they told lies against him, and then they put him to death. I'm not quite sure why we always expect that our lives will somehow go differently from the one that we actually follow. This is, after all, the way that he went, and he made it very clear that the manner in which he went and the road that he trod was also how we were supposed to go as well. The cross was not just for our Lord or given to us as the only means of salvation. It is indeed those things, and that is true. It is the only means of salvation, but that means we must likewise embrace these crosses in our lives. We must realize that the world does not want what we have and will not compromise with us, and therefore will be seeking murderous threats against us as well. It may not manifest itself with the shedding of blood, although again, in the history of the church, it is replete with the blood of martyrs, men and women, known and unknown, who shed their blood in defense of the faith. They may not have even thought about it in those terms. Simply, they believed in God and they accepted the truths of Christ, and they were willing to die for those instead of lying to the world about who they were and whose they were. It might come to pass for us, even in this nation where we enjoy all of these freedoms, we know that when it comes to us as Catholic men and women, those freedoms are easily curtailed. Lies and laws are easily lies against us. Laws change and arrayed against us. Now, this seems to be a bleak way to understand the world, but then we listen to the rest of our gospel from St. Matthew and we understand the context in which we understand the difficulties we encounter. Because the truth of the matter is, there's no reason for anxiety or doubt or despair, the Lord will indeed provide for us. Not necessarily in the way that we would envision, certainly never in the way that we would want, but always in the way that we need in order to be faithful to Him. St. Paul's exhortation to the Galatians enjoins us to live in the Spirit and speaks about the fruits that come from a life lived in the Spirit. Joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and long-suffering, mildness, faith, modesty, chastity, joy and peace. Wouldn't it be nice to live this way? To put aside all of the anxiety and then the fear that the anxiety engenders, and then living in the world so disgruntled and frustrated and upset that that is the disposition that we know and that's really all that we know? Where is that joy and that peace? Not a peace born of resignation, not a peace born of compromise, but a peace that comes from living in Christ and living in the Spirit. When I listen to Scripture sometimes, brothers and sisters, and I read these things, and I'm convicted because of my failure to do them, I wonder what it is that's going to have to happen to me in order to actually embrace them, to live accordingly, to truly be convicted and to trust in the Lord. I wait for something from the skies to drop down and to change and transform me, to grace to thoroughly overwhelm me and knock me to the ground, a blinding light, a voice from heaven. These things have come and men still have persisted in going their own way. The fact of the matter is God has indeed given me everything that I can precisely need. He gives us the very gift of Himself in this Eucharistic sacrifice. To ask for more is churlish. To expect more from God. What more could He possibly give to us? He literally has given us everything. So the only thing that must happen now is for me to conform, for you to conform your lives accordingly, and to do that today. As I often remind you, and I'm often again reminding you today, the world does not want you. But really, who cares? Because we're not concerned about the world. We know that. And so now we have to live and adjust, not for the world, but for relationship with God. And you know as well as I, when we turn off our phones, when we get off Facebook, when we defriend people, not physically and emotionally, but I guess technologically, we put aside our Twitter accounts and our Instagram and our Pinterest and all those other forms of unnecessary mediated communication, our lives improve by a factor of 10. We're not waiting for those three dots to show up in response to a text message and all of the anxiety. That's a disease now. I don't know if you know that. That's a disease. I forget the name that they call it. The anxiety that's engendered by waiting for three dots to come in a piece of technology to hear from somebody that you could probably go to the next room and actually talk to them face to face. Imagine that joy and that peace that comes from unplugging from the world. I'm not telling you to become Catholic Amish, although if you were to do so, there's nothing wrong with that. But I am saying don't be governed and weighed down by the things of the world. This joy and this peace, this patience, these virtues, they're real and they're true, and we can have them if we cooperate with the grace of God. But if you're waiting from God to give you particularly, as if somehow God is going to give you a particular grace that He's not going to give to everyone else, when He has given to everyone else, including you, all the graces that you need, to somehow believe and to wait that God is going to intervene in your life because you're special and unique, it isn't going to happen. Sufficient grace has been given. All the graces given to Our Lady are also available to you. The question is, what will you do with those graces given to you? Because we know what happens to us when we cooperate with those graces and how peaceful our lives truly are. I've already admitted that I am not a perfect practitioner, but I can testify to this, that when I let go of the things of the world and I put aside the anxiety and the doubt that comes from the anxiety and the despair that's engendered by the anxiety and the doubt, my life truly is at peace. And maybe that peace is only captured for a few moments, maybe just a day or a half a day or maybe just an hour. But God's grace is always there, that those hours may turn into days and weeks and months and years. A whole lifetime, not of anxiety, not of worry, but instead a life of virtue in the Spirit. And so through this Eucharistic sacrifice, maybe just for today, maybe just this afternoon, you can live in such a way that the peace that comes from God and Him alone can truly be yours in your heart, in your family, and in your life. Don't worry. As the Lord Himself says, the only thing that is required is to seek the kingdom of God and to find His justice. Everything, all things, will be taken care of in addition to God's great grace. Trust in the Lord, and He indeed will do good things in you and through you and for you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.